slave. When I become a slave, I stop thinking. So am I coward? I have exercised my freedom in order to be bound as a slave. And when I become a slave, and if he accepts me as a slave, which will be a great blessing, then what will happen is, I won't be able to exercise my free will. So am I a coward in that? Is it my weakness or is it my greatness, is it my strength to exercise my freedom to be bound? So
the last act of the will, to will to give up the world.
Yes, it is that. But give up the world what? Not to just step out of the world? No, give up the world within us. Turn yourself. That's what Baba says, simple figure he has given us. We are having our backs on him now. All what you have to do is just gamble, as we said last time. You know that? And turn your face me, he says. That's all. What you have to do is to face me. In all your thoughts, words and acts, face me. It needs great daring for that. There is no doubt about it. But we'll get it if we just depend on him. Therefore he says, hold on. Now let us forget everything, he says. Just hold on to me and remember me. That's enough for you. Everything is in it. When you depend upon me, holding on to his dhaman means what? Total dependability on him. You depend on him totally. You know the figure that he has given us of our holding on to his dhaman is like a child that is taken out in a world fair, you see, by his mom. Little tiny tot, you see. And he's so dazed, you see, with the sights, with the noise, with all the colors, and automatically he holds on to the mother's skirt. And as long as the grip is tight there, the mother moves about freely, enjoys and feels that the child will also enjoy, you see. Yes. As long as the grip is there, the child will be where the mother is. So what the child does is, and he depends totally on his mother. Likewise, he says, hold on to my dhaman and be sure you will never be led astray. You will be by me, my side, wherever it be. He doesn't want us to give up the world. He wants you to play in the world. Go wherever you are, but hold me, hold on to me. Yes, sir. For me, it's time to pedal. there is that good story I was telling. Yeah. Remind me about it. It's about what? What was that?
When things go very difficult for you, you know, when the water begins to rise, as we say, like the time, this is Erich's story, and I'll only tell you in short. Baba was going on a mountain tour in the train, the crowded third-class compartment train. What time Baba had. So Erich says, here is Baba and all of them, and he had to get to this particular place, somewhere way up in North India, at a particular time to see this particular mosque, and how to get there. So it was that partition time when, it was wartime. It was wartime. What was it? Why were the Indian soldiers? When were the Indian soldiers? Anyway, it's then,
China.
Couldn't be. Baba was, it's an earlier thing. Anyway, they saw this train. Maybe it was the partition time and it's keeping news, I don't know. So, but it was wartime, maybe 38-40 wartime, when India was also doing something. Oh, we were lending our personnel. Yes, that's right. So whatever it was, the battle was going on. And this crowded train where you couldn't get it, first preference would be given to the military. the soldiers, they always had the first preference. So they saw this compartment go before the, quite a number of them were in it. So Eraj goes over and speaks to them through the window, please, you know, my elder brother and we have to go very urgently there. Could you allow us to get in the compartment again? And he says, sure, sure, come in. If they want a bit more, come in. So Baba, Eraj, and about two others, they got in. There, in those old days, those compartments, what we call, the English called bogies, had at the end of the, at the end of the wall, a bench, you know, sort of an alcove, like an altar inside. It was like an alcove seat, where the servants used to sit. When the British traveled, the servants did not sit on the same seat as their masters and their employers. They sat in that thing. So that it was a little secluded. Baba was there. Then, at another station, other military personnel came, and they wanted to get in the compartment. And then the first one said, no, you can't, you don't get in. We're full up. You're not going to come in. What do you mean? Instead of, they said, why didn't you ask permission? Why do you mean ask permission? And they pushed themselves in, but, and the train started. As soon as they got in, the train started. And when the train started, they really got hot words at each other. You know? They started grumbling, and then they started shouting, and then they started abusing, and then they... Then, Eraj said it was so inflammable, because they were really angry, and they were came to fists. And here was this traveling, fast traveling train, Baba, whom they wanted to protect as a person and be with him. Just a minute, these hot-blooded, hot-tempered fellows were really at it. Then they started picking up things and really giving each other blows. And then they would pick, you know, their guns, because they would hit. It was a riot right in that train. And they were helpless. The Nandali were absolutely helpless. What could they do? So then, suddenly, there was a clap. When the clap sounded, all stopped shouting. All turned. And Baba, in that alcove, which was like an altar, they saw this figure all standing on the bench. Beautiful figure in white. They thought it was a vision. Baba was saying, Baba was stood up. With a white scepter, and Baba was doing this, sort of with a clap first. How the clap sounded, the clap penetrated their shouts and the disease. But Baba's clap was like, and this. And they just couldn't believe it. This must be a vision. They hadn't even seen. They hadn't seen Baba and the Mandali there in the first place when they came in. And then this way out. And then Eraj began to talk for Baba. And Baba said, sit down. And all sat down. And then Baba said something about how if you're not united among you, you're going out to fight an enemy. And if you're not united among yourself, how are you going to protect your motherland? And very beautiful discussion. And then Baba sat down. And Baba said, and now, you know, at the next station, I will stand you tea and soup. And they cheered and said, oh, fine. And you know, Eraj said, first thought was, where are the sweets? Then he remembered, see how Baba remembered, just as the train was moving out of Ahmednagar, way in the beginning, Eraj's aunt, you know, the other first, did all of course Baba loves, he could be at the station, wherever they knew Baba would be, wherever, any place like that. So they had rushed there with this big kerosene tin, and biscuit tin, big thing like that, full of this homemade sweet, rich mawa. And it pushed it just when Eraj, and Eraj was shouting, why you women, why did you, we want it, you might need it, you might need it, take it in, what is it? all right, and it was so crowded and so much, you know, in Ahmednagar station, nothing to do with that train. So there it had been. And so, how Baba had remembered, you know, because Baba said, there didn't even know Baba had noticed at the time. So Baba said, bring that out. So they brought out that tin. They already gave an order. So when the train came, I think 200 cups of tea, because there were so many cups of tea, everybody was having, and Baba was giving them. Oh, and then one day, And then when the station destination soon came after that, and they all got up singing the national anthem and cheering and waving to Baba. But you see, he took over only when you are helpless. Only then do you leave it to him. One always says, I leave it to you, Baba. One cannot really. Until you're helpless, that you just cannot do it. Just came to do it. I mean, he took that moment over, and so beautifully, because the men could have done nothing. And they knew it. This fighting in the middle of this fast train in this compartment with Baba, and they're there. And Baba is there. But I can just think, I'd love to think of that. This is one of my best Eric stories. But when they looked at his top, they were seeing this great, because Baba was so beautiful in itself, especially when he ended up doing this. And they just tear. Sit down. Sit down. And why he won't do it till we have leave it to him? It's because we have to let go of it. Well, actually, what does the word surrender mean? Surrender isn't you giving something. He already has it, but you're holding on. Surrender means let go. Let it be with him. It's as simple as that. But if Baba would say, it's so difficult because it's so simple. So simple, Baba would say. It's almost impossible because it's so simple. Oh yes, Baba would, all those years, till more recently, Baba would give things with his own hands. And I remember in New Life, 1950, 1st January 1950, Baba went around, some cake had come to somebody. It was always like that. We had no money, we had, you know, like, we were, you might say, beggars, and yet came. I mean, I just now wonder, where did the cake come from? It must be something that could happen. Somebody must. But Baba was handing out a piece of cake to everyone on 1st January, 1956. Really. Because he had the board. Happy New Year. A happy new life. Happy new life. Not happy new year. Happy new life. We all took that. Happy new life. You are such good listeners. We all people just talk. Somebody reminded me of you did. That operation time thing. You, yeah. It was you, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah. When Baba touched his children, wasn't it you? You and Nancy. No, I don't know what I mean. But in the New Life too, I mean, when I look back and say, how did they accept all those conditions? The condition was that they would not see him, he would not give them an interview, but only if of their own free will, of complete happiness. And they said, yes, yes, we'll go away. Leave the house for Baba. Yes, yes, we'll send the food. And the food must be only this and this, not, you know, better food, and only dal and rice. I thought I loved dal and rice. I tell you, in Benares, every day while we were in Benares, every day, dal and rice. Until it, when we looked at it, the dal and rice, I suddenly, I just for no reason, and automatically, I, something would turn up in here. Oh. Because there was nothing else with it. No greenery, no lemon, no chutney, no chili. Then we realized that what we call dal and rice every day is because it has some greenery, something with it that makes the whole difference. But this was just, and yet at the same time, there was this poor man who worked on that property, the people who had given us this place. We don't know who it belonged to because we never saw them. And this whole place, this torn building was there. And that poor man who sweeped the garden and everything was so poor, and he had so many children. So naturally we couldn't eat much, so much would be left over. So we'd give it to the man, and I tell you, he would take it like it was pulao, biryani. He would take it like it was, you know, just life. And we'd feel so odd. See how it means so much to him, and yet we turn up, but we couldn't help it. Then there was another man who used to be in the compound, an old person. And he had a little room, one of those outhouse rooms where the servants' quarters would be. The house was empty. And early in the morning, he used to sleep outside in a bed he'd made for himself out of rope and wood. He would sleep outside. And 4 o'clock, and we were inside in our Indian sleeping bags, you know. And we would hear from 4 o'clock, just chanting outside. Ram, Ram, Sita, Ram. And he said, oh, it's 4 o'clock. Ooh, it's so cold outside where he is. And I turned cold so much where I was. And, you know, thank God, we didn't have to get up at that time and in that period. One day Baba said to Gaurav, he said, go and ask that old man what he would like. I want to give him something. What is it that he has need for? What he wants? Just go and ask. So Gaur went, and then when she came back, Baba had left for the men monthly, so they were quite far away. So Mera said, oh Gaur, did you go and get the old man? Did you take Baba's message? Yes, she said, but you know, he has a very nice landlord. Landlord means the one who owns the house.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. He says, my landlord gives me everything. But who's his landlord? Oh, somebody called Thakur. Dad, Thakur means, is another name for Lord Krishna. He means my, you know, there is nothing that I need. He fulfills all my needs. And yet we knew in the little room that he was, because we once, you know, just gone in and peeked in, there was nothing, absolute nothing, except two earthenware little bowls for cooking. But there was nothing. So anyway, when the message went to Baba said, go back and ask him. Go back till he says something that he wants. So she went back. And again he said, Nahi, I want nothing. What is it that he has not provided for me? Everything. No, Gaur said, you've got to ask for something. Surely there's something you need. Ah, yes, he said. How could I forget? Yes, there is something I've wanted. Gaur got so excited. What is it? He said, a matchup. A box of matches. You know, to light the fire. That's right. So Gaur went back and said, Baba, he said, a box of matches. Good, Baba. The afternoon, now call him. Next day, and then he came, and Baba had in his hands to give to him that box of matches was on top of a pile of, he had a blanket, something, a coat, maybe Baba's coat, I don't know, a blanket, a coat, some big thing, and on top of it, that matchbox. And the man came, and said, come, you know, he wants you, our elder wants you to give you something. And so the old man came, and he gazed at Baba's face. And whatever we were saying, we said, now take them. He's giving them to you. He put out his hand. He never once looked at, he just couldn't leave Baba's. His eyes couldn't leave Baba's face. It was as if suddenly he'd been in a dark room, and suddenly he was blinded by the light. He just kept staring at Baba. And then Baba said, I'm very happy. We kept saying whatever Baba said, but the man just, and then Baba said, now go. And then Baba turned and went to the matchbox. It was very fun. Kara said, he must have a very good landlord, really. Gives him everything. Gives him everything. He doesn't have a thing in it. Really, isn't it? Such a good landlord. What's his name? Thakur. Oh, come, said Mera. I think you mean. And he would even bathe. I really think the Hindu people are very clean people, because under the circumstances that they have baths and wash their clothes and wash their parts till they shine, we wouldn't have done it, because we didn't actually, you know. We said, no, need to bathe today, it's terribly cold, you couldn't even remove your clothes. And this, like this man, for instance, It was even at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you couldn't remove any of your covering that you were hugging to yourself. And he would be out, and we would hear the well. At about 10 o'clock, we would hear there was a well outside, and there was this rope and clay that goes in. And it was on a wooden wheel, and it would go, chop, chop, very tiny as well, you see. And he said, ooh, it started to take fire. It would go out, and slowly the sound we would know. And then he would put the pail in, bring the water out, throw it on himself, pull the pail in again. By the time it freed, it'd be an icicle. And he'd put the thing in it, so, no. And the more we visualized all that, the colder we felt. And I remember the time when we were in Dehradun, and there was this family, but Erich knows the story of how he came. He had a dream, and he brought lots of things. There was this one man saw in a dream that Baba's coming. He didn't know about Baba, but I mean the great one is coming, and that he wanted from his heart to give him, not to miss this opportunity. He piled up things in a cart, and he brought over. And Nagarwala was told not to tell anybody about Baba's coming. So he said, I know the place. This is where I'm supposed to wait. He said, wait for whom? He said, who's coming? He said, nobody's coming. He got frightened because he thought Baba was calling me to give it away, that I'm coming. And he said, but what makes you bring all these things? He says, it's for him and his people. But who? Nobody's coming again, that man said. Nashwan's father, Keku. Oh, yes, he said, I saw. But how did you know my house? He said, I've seen it all in a dream. I've got directions. So anyway, he owned, his business was butter, beautiful butter, packaged butter, which would come in tins that, even the tins were so beautiful, you know, in cans. It used to be in these. in cans that aluminum cans, strong kind of thing that you have to close with a snap. But that's another story. You should ask Mara to tell you sometime. How after we all this trekking and walking and traveling, when we at last, you know, got a place to put our things down in, not under the trees and in odd places, but you know, a place, a real cottage, a real house. There these cans of butter were awaiting us. We'd never tasted anything by any standards. This was delicious, but at that time, but that's another story, So anyway, this man, afterwards, when he met Baba, and I'm coming to the sort of latter part of the story, jumping through it, he wanted just to serve Baba. Just to be with Baba. And so he said, Baba, we were now in Dehradun, settled in this house for some weeks we were there. So when we got down there, and this man said, I want my family, can my family come and cook and serve, and you know, in any way. And Baba said, fine. So your family can come over and cook for the men and the women. So this house had an enormous kitchen, not part of the house, but at the back. So that's where we used to cook. We women used to cook for us. So when we heard that this man, such a man has come, oh really? And his wife and sister and niece and I mean all the family are coming over just to cook for us. Oh, that's wonderful. We couldn't believe it. We were just going to sit and eat. We didn't have to do any cooking and getting up 4 in the morning. No. So the man he went. You see, he was not of Dehradun. He was of another place. What was the place? Not Ludhiana. It eludes me now at the moment. So he went by train to his hometown and immediately got his family, and they came with absolutely no luggage of their own, except perhaps a change of clothing, but with sacks full of utensils and ladles and skillets and pans and pots and masalas, and just, you know, sewn up in gunny sacks. And so we said, but now we must accommodate these women, isn't it? So when they saw the kitchen, they said, don't worry about us. We will sleep here. We will cook here. we will stay here, don't worry. And there's the bathroom, we will bathe here, we will do everything here. Oh, so we were very happy, it was a fine. Anyway, it was better because it was a little sunnier then. So they would get up at 4 in the morning and bathe and then start cooking. But then, you know, when we got up in the morning at the usual time, now that they were taking over, so they wondered when we had a bath, you know, because we didn't seem to use that bathroom there. And boy, if we told them that we hadn't bathed for 3 days, they wouldn't believe it. They thought, like the Hindus, we would get up every morning, you know, before prayers, have a bath and all that sort of thing. We couldn't. And anyway, there were the glass panes were missing, and even newspaper didn't help. But they continued to do it. And we mustn't lie, you know. It would have been very easy for me to lie, you know. But we couldn't in the new life. So so they would say, "Oh, Deviji, you all have already bathed before we do. You all have bathed." And we said, I said, "Yes, yes, we bathe. But not saying when or why. We all let it each other. My goodness, we couldn't even change our clothes, go and have a bath at it early in the morning in that cold, cool month. No. But then, Baba didn't want us to be pampered so much. They were going to be there a month and a half. I think within a week, Baba piped them out. Baba said he was very happy with their service. The man would go out in a horse carriage, tonga, and they would bring the bazaar for us. You know, they would market for us. The vegetables in Dehradun, oh, you've never seen anything like it. The peas would be that big and fresh. The cauliflowers would be that. And the nokos, after all the road campings and things we had to do. And in Dehradun, anyway, the vegetable is so proliferous and so, you know, bigger than anywhere else and beautiful.
Weren't these people sort of very well-to-do and good family? I mean, they do what they had done and living in that kitchen.
Yes,
and everything.
Yes, they were of a very, very good family.
They didn't realize who Baba was at the time.
And then this businessman, this butterman, his heart must have also been, but it just melted with Baba's love completely, so that he was never the same afterwards. And any time anybody would say, any question they would ask, he would say, "Baba Jane," means Baba knows. Like you say, God knows, Baba knows. "But what time is the train leaving?" What's his name? Baba Jane. So that in the end, his name came to be known. He was Tore Singh. His name was Tore Singh, but he came to be known as Baba Jane. Oh, that Baba Jane knows, you know, the talent to him. Then I...